Good morning, everybody. My name is Mark Frangioni. I'm one of the elders here. I'm going to be reading the scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10 in the New International Version. This is Jesus talking red letters in probably some of your Bibles. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were back then.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. Mark's an elder here and does a really, really good job. Good morning. Doing all right? Good. Let me get you caught up. If you're a guest this morning, you should know where we are. We're in the third week of our I Am statements of Jesus, and there's seven of them. So we've just been going in chronological order just straight through, all right? And so today, it's I Am the Door. Jesus says, I am the door in John chapter 10. Now, today's going to be kind of unique because what I'd like to do is actually just get us kind of all the way caught up, because I think there's themes throughout each chapter in the book of John that really illustrate why he says this to start John 10, that he is the door. So it's going to be kind of unique. We're going to go journey through all up to John chapter 10. Now, before we do that, I was thinking just this morning, actually, about when I was a freshman in college, there was a senior on the baseball team. His name's Casey Bond, all right? And Casey took me under his wing, and I still really don't know why he did that. It wasn't a mutual relationship at all. I mean, I was not even one of the better players on the team. In fact, I was one of the worst players on the team. I was obnoxious, awkward, you know, just didn't have much to offer to him, right? But he took me under his wing, and one thing you got to know about Casey is even for a senior in college, 22-year-old dude, for some reason, this guy had amazing clout. I mean, authority like you wouldn't believe. In fact, one day I remember he comes in, and he's like, hey, coach, I don't think we should practice today. And the coach is like, you know what? I don't think we should practice today. We'll take the day off. And I'm like, this guy's 22. Now, part of this is confession time. There was an era in my life where I didn't make quite so good decisions. And Casey would get me into places that other people couldn't get into, you know, different clubs and different activities and things like that. And when I would come back, oftentimes, some of my freshman friends would ask, how'd you get to go to that? And my answer would always be the same. Casey brought me. Casey is why I got in. Because I know Casey and he invited me. That's how I got in. When we think about heaven one day and being at the gates, if the angel asks us, why should you get in? And your answer has any eyes in it, you've already missed. The reason we get in is because Jesus said we could come. It's like that old Alistair Begg sermon where he analogizes he wonders about the thief on the cross, the conversation he has with the angel at the gates, and the angel's like, wait, how'd you get here? You know, you weren't a part of a Bible study. You know, you didn't ever really get the theology just right. You made all these decisions in your life leading up to this moment in time. And his answer very simply is, the man on the middle cross said I could come. And that's fundamentally it. In John chapter 10, that's what Jesus is speaking into right here. There are authorities and powers at play who are trying to say it's a merit-based system to get to God. There's really two things they're saying. One is it's merit-based in order to get in good with God. And also that you have to have a tight grip on your power and authority and get whatever it is that you want, as opposed to what Jesus said, which is exactly the opposite of those two things. Instead of a merit-based system, it's a grace-based system. Instead of using your power to leverage your gain and hold tightly to it, what Jesus does is he gives up his power for the benefit of other people. It's an entirely different landscape. So when Jesus says, I am the door, he's really calling out these Pharisees who, in John chapter 9, have held this blind man and his family down all their lives and said, you're just the way you are because you're just a dirty, rotten sinner. And Jesus comes in and says, they don't get to tell you who you are. I do. It's an amazing moment in time. People don't get to tell you if you're in or out. Jesus does. That's the point here this morning. So Let's journey through the scriptures a little bit. All right, John chapter 1. We're going to review all the way to 9 because I think it's really important for us to really have this handle on what this theme is through the scriptures. All right, so in John chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus is the Word. He is the authority. He is everything. All right, and then it says this radical thing that he made his dwelling among us. I mean, think about a king coming from the highest thrones to the lowest places to dwell with us. And then he calls his own disciples, which if you know anything about that at the time when teachers would call disciples, it was students begging to follow after the disciple. I mean, they would go at the teacher's feet and they would say, here are my qualifications. I got the Old Testament memorized. I got really good speaking skills. I got charisma. I can help with this. Please let me follow you. But in contrast, Jesus goes to his followers. He says, hey, you, I'm picking you out. Come and follow me. And instead of picking all the best students, what he does is he picks some who other people just passed on. He said, you don't have hope. You're not involved in this thing. Jesus says, no, I want you. He doesn't go to the steaks and the lobsters. He goes to like that frozen pizza. You know, he says, I don't call the qualified, I qualify the called. So important for us to fundamentally understand. Again, not merit-based. In John chapter 2, he cleanses out the temple. I mean, he goes in, he's so angry. Why? Because, I mean, picture today somebody who's in need of prayer going to a pastor and that pastor saying, that'll be $5, please, for me to pray for you. Or saying, actually, no, not right now because we got markets going on and I got stuff that I want to do and things like that. Again, using your power and authority for your own gain. And that made Jesus really angry. Why? Because those who have power and authority should leverage that to help others, to bring people along, to lead others. And then in John chapter 3, we see him have this conversation with the Pharisee of Pharisees, old Nico, as I like to call him, Nicodemus. And this, probably the most famous passage from here, John 3:16. God sent his Son into the world that those who would believe in him would be saved and have everlasting life. And then, that one gets all the press, but then the next verse says, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that it might be saved through him. And he says this word in there, in John 3:16. He says, whoever. And I looked up that definition because I wanted to get it right. It says, no one left out. Doesn't matter. And that's a hard teaching for old Nico, all right? Because Nico got some places. He's a Pharisee of Pharisee. Man, doesn't it count? Doesn't my position count? And Jesus says, no, you got to be reborn. You got to be reborn. It's a whole new thing he's doing. And Nicodemus didn't quite understand that. In John chapter 4, we see this woman at the well story where Jesus encounters a Samaritan, which Jews didn't talk to, a woman, which teachers didn't talk to at all, and never one-on-one with a woman. Scandalous, downright scandalous. And certainly not a woman who is caught up in some kind of lifestyle that is just not good. And you know who gets the first declaration in the book of John that he's the Messiah? It's not the Pharisee of Pharisees. It's this broken down, hurting, outcasted Samaritan woman who has to get water midday. Why? It's not a merit-based system. In John chapter 5, Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda, and the Pharisees had it with him at this point. I mean, you're not even supposed to go down there, man. That is a pool of sinners. I'm not going down there. This dude had been an invalid for 38 years, and the Pharisees had cast him off and said, once you get things right, then you'll be able to walk again. Once you just correct everything and you repent and you just live a good, then you'll be able to walk again. And for 38 years, they just cast him aside, waiting for him to get it right. But what does Jesus do? He goes right to him. And then he asks this question, which I think is a wonderful question for everybody. He says, do you want to be healed? And that's a great question, right? Because so many times we become identified by our experiences. And yet he says, do you want to be healed? It's an important question for us. In John chapter 6, you get this amazing story with the 5,000, which may have been more like 20,000, because they only counted men at that time. And Jesus takes this kid's Lunchable, and he essentially multiplies it to the point of feeding everybody and then some. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing story of this kid's faith to just go, hey, I got this. And Jesus takes that and multiplies it. It's an amazing story. And then later, Jesus gives us his first I am statement. He says, I am the bread of life. As if to say, you got to take me in. I mean, not just your physical needs like in Exodus for manna, but like actually if you want to accomplish anything, you got to take me in. You got to take me in. That's the point. I think at that point they thought, okay, well, he's going to provide our physical need, but we still got to go do good works to get in good with God. Jesus is saying, no. If you want to do anything good, you got to take me in first. And then John 7 through 10, this is almost a very continuous time frame. All right, Jesus is teaching a lot during this time. In John 7, he's teaching at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And as we talked about last week, you know, the illumination of the temple, this is where he says in John 8, I am the light of the world. But before we get there, Jesus says, anyone who thirsts, come to me and I will give you streams of living water. Actually, he says rivers of living water, refreshment for your soul. He doesn't say, those who are acting right, those who have nailed the behaviors, those who prayed this morning and did their quiet time, I'll give you rivers of living water. He says, those who thirst, man, in their bones, they're humble and they know their need for him. He says, I'll give you rivers of living water. And by the way, it's at this point that the Pharisees have had enough. And he's in the temple and they want to stone him. And he just kind of, Jesus jukes his way out of it. I mean, he just goes right out the temple. And in John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. But then in John 9, we get this story where he encounters this blind man. And this is the context of which he's speaking into John chapter 10 and saying, I am the door. He encounters this blind man. He says, all right, I'm just going to like spit on my hands, rub some dirt on his face, and then boom, he sees. But again, the Pharisees have an issue with this because this guy clearly is a part of some kind of deep sin, so he deserves to just be blind because of his sin. How dare you heal him? And how dare you do it on the Sabbath? There are rules, man. Well, there are rules that they've created for themselves. See, Jesus was interested in giving us sight, and I mean real sight. And I don't just mean physical sight. In fact, when we get to the end of this chapter, what he says is, essentially, Pharisees, you guys are the ones who are blind. And you're just not seeing it, man. Like you've been, you know, thieves and robbers. You've been using your position of authority to just get yourself ahead as opposed to using it to lay it down for those less fortunate. Again, it's not merit-based. It is grace-based. So that gets us to John chapter 10. Jesus explaining the gospel and how the Pharisees continue to just miss it. He says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So at that time, the shepherds would build up a sheep gate. And oftentimes, what they would do is instead of there being an actual door, they'd just lay in front of the sheep pen. They would literally be the door for the sheep to get in and out of pasture. And what Jesus is saying here is you've had so many people here telling you that they're the authority, but right now he's saying, I am the door. See, nobody gets to tell you who you are. Only God does. Nobody gets to tell you if you're in or if you're out, except God alone. And he's the one saying, right now, in this place, you can come. And those that the Pharisees casted out because of their merit-based system, they're all welcome because this is a grace-based system. Really, the only question is, are we going to humble ourselves enough to say, Jesus is everything? I mean, if you ever catch yourself thinking you need less grace than other people, I'm just telling you, man, it's not a good place to be. Or if you ever catch yourself using your power or authority not to actively lead and instruct and protect and to love and to shepherd those that you have power over, I'm just telling you, man, it's not a good place to be. Because we see that all the way leading up to this in John chapter 10. Again, only God gets to tell you who you are. He is the door. Now, let me say this. And I don't mean to create a victimhood when I say this, so let me just be very clear about that. We also have to deal with the reality that the past few decades, it has now become more likely than not that you grew up without both parents in the home. All right? That undoubtedly is going to do something in you, induce something in you to say, this person who is supposed to be closest to me and had, you know, this authority in my life, what they chose to do was to neglect it. What's wrong with me? There's got to be an issue here. And I'm just telling you that this is such a liberating passage because Jesus is saying that all these authorities who have missed it all this time, they're not even a real authority. I am. And what he says is anybody who will come by the door can enter eternal security. They can enter safety, contentment, to roam in pastures freely knowing you're protected. That only comes through the door. So critical for us. Jesus calls them thieves, and he calls them robbers. Now, a thief is somebody who will steal something for their own gain. But a robber is somebody who turns violent when there's resistance to getting what it is that they want. This is what's happening with the Pharisees and Jesus. Clearly, Jesus comes in, and he's Jesus. He's got some authority. And the Pharisees are starting to feel threatened. So why? What do they do? What do they start doing? They grab the stones, start gnashing their teeth at them, start ripping their wardrobe open. Because why? Their power is threatened. It's so critical for us not to live that way, to just lay that power down and say, God, you're the one who has the power anyway. It's all in your hands. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. All right, let's stop here for a second. He calls them by name. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how Jesus calls your name? I mean, literally how he calls your name. You know what I mean? Is it like, Cheryl, get over here. Come on. she said, hey, sometimes. I mean, come on. Is it, man, I'm so disappointed in you, shaking your head, wagging your finger, right? Or is it, man, Cheryl, I see you. I love you. I want better for you. I want you to step into this because I love you. I want you to come into the door, man. It's like these tear-stained eyes who says, I can't watch. I want you to step in. Come here. Not because he dislikes you, but because it's the opposite, because he fiercely loves you. He is the door. Jesus is like no other shepherd. And that's why I tell you guys all the time, I don't like to be called pastor. I get it, I know, I get it, all right? But seriously, we got to point everything to him. And that's why we have so many people coming up on this stage, because listen, if you're here for me, don't be. I am a big dummy. I mean, even just this week, I get caught, you know, foot and mouth disease big time. Not the actual hand and foot and mouth disease, but the talking too much. See, I'm doing it right now. So, man, everything's about Jesus. And no matter who is up here speaking to you, the substance has to be Jesus. Everything has to be Jesus. And if that's the case, we have so much to gain from so many different people. We want you to hear his voice and not mine. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Praise God for that. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. They can just play, man. You ever thought about that? I mean, sheep can just, they ain't got to worry about their needs being met. They ain't got to worry about any of that because the shepherd meets it, and they can just play. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Guys, here's the thing. It's all kinds of doors. In fact, every time I drop my girls off at school, I'll be driving through the line, and there's this double doors that's like raised up from the ground, and there's no stairs going up to it. I know it's been there for a long, long time. And I just wonder when the day is somebody's going to be inside and push that door open and just fall down on their face, right? When we try to open all these other doors that aren't Jesus, we undoubtedly are going to fall on our face. He is the door. There's no other authority that's the door. You aren't the door. What people say about you is not the door. Comfort is not the door. Buddha, Muhammad is not the door. We got one door. His name is Jesus. And all enter by him. I want to say, hopefully just a couple more things. All right. You have to be careful who you're being influenced by. You have to be careful the podcasts you're listening to and the ones that you're tying yourself to. All throughout John up to this point, we have people who are leading in authority who are talking about a merit-based system and talking about their own power and clinging to it and using that power to preserve it instead of giving it up for the benefit of the people that they're leading. If you ever see somebody in a podcast who, man, they just got self-interest or whatever, you might think their teaching is good, it's good quality or whatever, I'm just telling you, you got to avoid it. Because we're going to slowly drift from that John 10:10 mentality if we allow those voices to speak in over and over and over again. Jesus wants us to have life and life to the full. And we can't do that if we're allowing over and over again these other influences that have self-interest. We've got to push them aside and say, no, I need to go after somebody who gives up their power and authority. It's critical for us, guys. And I don't, you know, you guys know by now, if you've been here long enough, I don't like to call people out. I don't like to do that, all right? But I do think those themes are critically important. As we close, heard a story last night at midnight. David Jeremiah told this about Harry Houdini. One of my favorite historical figures. That dude could escape anything, man. You'd be like, all right, there's this unpickable lock. Go after it, Houdini. 20 seconds, got it. Boom, out. Or whatever, you chain him up or whatever. He's just escaping everything, all right? But there was this one time in Britain where he couldn't pick the lock. They put him in this jail cell. And he looked at it, and he goes, oh, I've seen this before. I'll get out of here under a minute. Easy. So he starts trying to pick the lock. 2 hours go by, and he hasn't been able to pick this lock. So finally, what he does is he says, all right, you win. I've been beaten. I give up. So at that moment in time, he decided, I'm going to rest, and I'm just going to lean on the door. And when he leaned on the door, it opened. It was unlocked the whole time. How often are we putting ourselves in a jail cell? When Jesus has been saying all along, man, I'm the door. Just lean on me. And you'll find your way into life and life abundantly if you'll just lean on me. Man, at the end of the day, people can say all kinds of things to you and about you. But we get in because Jesus said we could come. And that's the bottom line. Let's pray together. Father, We thank you for the ultimate authority that you hold. And what a liberating thing. I pray right now, there's so many voices speaking in. There's so many doors people are walking through. I pray that you'd be so gracious, Holy Spirit, in this moment to convict our hearts to the point where we go, yeah, I actually get a little bit of a glimpse of the way you actually call my name. With affections and tears in your eyes of compassion and love and grace, because it's not a merit-based system. It's your grace. And Father, for all these different doors that we keep trying to walk through, I pray for just a little bit of glimpse of the truth. And all we got to do is come through you. You said we could come. And that's all there is to it. So we love you. And we're thankful for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you guys need to come to the altar and pray, man, I would love to pray with you. I say it all the time. And here's the thing. I mean it. I would love to pray with you. If you got a need, a prayer need, come talk to me. Aside from that, as always, let's worship our guts out together.